Hi everybody, this is Christy. I am the Intimate Warrior. I thank you so much for stopping by, and as always, I send you love. And so I just got done uploading a video, excuse me, and there's no title to it, and I was just putting in the title of the YouTube thing, whatever, to just please listen or watch, and of course you're going to listen because there's nothing to watch on my videos. So I want to continue on with talking about, I guess, everything that I talk about in general in all of my videos. And of course, I have had an experience. In order for us to know who we truly are, we have to have an experience that teaches us who we are. It doesn't matter if we are in an ordinary reality, meaning that you are not aware that you are in the process of waking up, or if you are in the process of waking up. Therefore, we can call this the spiritual community, although we should not place labels upon anything, but that's just to give you an idea. Even within those who are not conscious or awake, to those who think they are conscious and awake, there are still lots of ideas, labels, judgments going on between both sides of the sources here. I hope to correct lots of these things in my videos because there's a misconception or a misunderstanding. Why? The ego. Bottom line, it's the ego. It's the illusion still. The illusion still exists. And until you actually are walking through the central pillar of the tree of life, going through the doorway of knowledge, which of course deals with the throat, and what I have been talking about in Taurus, or about Taurus and Aleph. This is the secret doorway within the tree of life that only those who are on the committed path are given access to. The committed path to selflessness and sacrifice and love. This does not mean because I have this knowledge that I am better than you. There's no category here. There's no I'm better than you. There's no right or wrong. It just is. And it's because I have made a choice. I've sacrificed. And I have been dedicated. And I am working towards annihilating my ego. And by being in the centeredness of love. Bottom line, I am willing to fail in order to see my true self. If you are not willing to fail, you'll never understand who you truly are. In my past, I have made so many mistakes. I have did so many things in order to fit in with society and within a certain crowd, within people's lives. Because I didn't know who I was. I was completely empty. Emptiness. And that's how the majority of society is living, on emptiness. Who are we? Who are we? People can't answer that. And then we judge other people instead of ourselves. Or asking, who are we? Who are we at our own worst times? It's easy to like ourselves when things are going good, and it's difficult to face ourselves when things aren't. So I haven't mentioned this, I guess, in any of my videos, but maybe I have. I also had an experience in my past when I was trying to fit in and find love, where I was actually doing illegal drugs. There. I said it. And my husband and I have just had this conversation. I think it was sometime last week that I was actually honest with him about something that I don't think I've ever mentioned in my past. And it's that I told him that I used to be afraid when we were out at the bluegrass festivals and people were doing drugs, you know, whether it was smoking pot or cocaine or whatever it is, you know. I would have to keep myself away from that group. Yet, in my mind, all along, I'm judging those people for what they're actually doing, those drugs. Yet, if I were placing myself in that situation, I would have had a difficult time in not joining in. When we have an addiction of any kind, it comes from our solar plexus. That is our powerhouse, where will power resides, our strength, our determination for goodness now, to be of goodness. Now, this area can go bad or good. Of course, we know that central is completely stable. We have to strengthen that area. Now, you can have an addiction to food, an addiction to alcohol, an addiction to drugs, an addiction to sex, an addiction. There's all kinds of crazy addictions out there now. And you know all about these crazy things, probably. And it's being thrown at us all the time. So if I go back to the discussion about when I was talking about my husband, and I admitted that I used to be afraid of a situation where cocaine would come into play. Because I knew that if I saw it, I would do it. Why? Because I remember the high. I remember how good it made me feel, although it made me feel terrible as well. But that good feeling, that high, is something that swallows you down and takes hold of you, and it has more control. Doesn't matter if it's in religion or now our spiritual community here. And this is something that I used to watch tons of videos on YouTube about when I was waking up. You can't drink alcohol. Yet, in my process, I was weaning myself off of alcohol as well as my prescription painkillers. Naturally. Because I was on the process of trying to let go of the things that controlled me. And that didn't make me feel good. When the Bible is talking about a drunkard, it's not somebody who's actually drinking alcohol. Although, of course, you know that when someone is drunk, what is their behavior? Lack of intelligence. Lack of consciousness. They tend to start fights or whatever, or become very promiscuous, fornicate, all that kind of stuff, very, seductive, or you know what I'm talking about. That is a drunkard. You, even if you don't drink alcohol, can act just as silly and stupid as someone who drinks. You still have that type of mindset, that awareness. Something is still separating you from your true self. That's how we are behaving on a daily basis. When we don't have the actual spirit within us, that's really connected continuously, we are a drunkard. Or you can say that we are behaving like animals all the time. It takes us on a continuous walk so that we can understand and make that deeper connection with ourselves, so that we are always, from second to second, minute to minute, hour to hour, day to day, for the rest of our life, connected with our inner being, where nothing can make you feel drunk, where nothing power has control or power over you. So in the early process of my awakening process here, which I'm now in my fifth year, or I guess this September 14th is my awareness to it. So I'll be entering into my fifth year then. I did wean myself off because then I took up on another, I took another addiction, and now I'm having another self-realization here. I took up exercising as my addiction. I had to exercise and also fascia blast every single day. And so that would take up sometimes 2 hours of my day. And then what I would do is also I would go outside and have physical activity as well. Always making myself doing something physically, controlling another situation. Wow, this is really hitting me. And now this is going to also, if you have watched my previous video, it's going to make a deeper connection to what I mentioned in that video about my image. And now I know something's going to change for me in this manner. So I took up something else. I let go of something and replaced it with something else. And that's what we tend to do when we are dealing with an addiction. Doesn't matter. If we get rid of like cigarettes, we probably are going to pick up on eating more. And then if we try to, get rid of eating so much, then we're going to take up on way too much physical activity. So that takes up most of my time. Now it's even clicking even more. You know what I used to always talk about? My husband used to make fun of me. You're either talking about food, fitness, or fascia blasting. Those three things all the time. That's all that came out of my mouth. And he was getting really tired and frustrated. That's all that I did. No, I used to talk to him about, well, you gotta eat this, right? You gotta do this. You gotta exercise. We gotta, the fascia blaster is gonna make you feel better. Blah, 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 blah. Your life is a mess unless you're doing this, this, and this. And so, wow. And so in me, stopping drinking, or as I stopped drinking, although I was, I never told my husband that he should stop drinking. I mean, there might have been some times, I was like, well, maybe you should, maybe this is why you're this and this and that, but honestly, in the back of my mind, I was still judging him for drinking. There's no lie. Even up until recently here, and I'm going to explain that, I judge anybody who drinks. It doesn't matter. If you don't drink, you're going to automatically judge somebody who does drink the natural flow. Until you have an understanding of what that drink is about in your own life and how that drink may control or liberate you, if you will, in your own life. So, although the past, 4 years here, I've been consumed here or assisting in my mother-in-law, who is now passed on, of course, if you guys have followed me, her journey towards her return back home, or return anyway, into a different form. I for the most part stopped going to events with my husband, to bluegrass festivals, even though I may have had a chance from time to time to go. I would refrain from going because I didn't trust myself. It's not because I wouldn't have had a good time. The truth is that I didn't trust myself, and I was going to go back to drinking. Now, there are times when I have gone with my husband, and yes, I drank. And then I would drink, and I was like, oh, I'm feeling what this alcohol is doing to me now. And I don't like what this alcohol is doing to me. I'm judging alcohol. I'm judging this situation. And this alcohol is making me forget my inner being. That's what I kept telling myself. And so I'm judging something. Judgment. It doesn't matter if you think it's a good thing or a bad thing. If you are judging it, it doesn't matter if you think that you are in love, in the center of love, and that you are finally reaching an enlightenment, if you have any form of judgment within you are the opposite of what you think you are. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The ego still exists when we have judgment. The ego still exists. when we think we are something. So that's the tricky part. And so let me go back, I'm gonna fast forward here to recently. I went out with my husband. After, you know, some things been going on between him and I, and I realized I have been refraining from really loving my husband in the way that he wants me to. I have caused a separation, not with great intention. I caused a separation because I wanted to be a better person. A better person. And me wanting to be a better person, automatically, I pushed him aside. A negative outcome is coming out of it. So, was I doing the right thing? If we are love, love is always giving. We know that we tend to think that love is a two-way street. Oh, well, if I'm going to do this, you know, you've got to give me this. We've got to meet each other halfway. It's 50-50. No, it's 100% here and 100% there. That's what love is. And if I take myself out of the life that me, my husband and I, you know, enjoyed being together with, I'm creating a separation between two parties. And yeah, he began to feel that. He's felt it. A distance being pulled. Even though I feel like I'm getting stronger, he's feeling a distance. And then I realized that's what I have done to him without intention, and to our marriage without intention. So I asked him to go out, and we had a date, and I was like, you know what? I know I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to have some beer. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to enjoy every single moment that I am with my husband. It was a selfless act. I'm going to fit into what my husband wants. Now, I need you to understand fitting in. I'm loving him. It's not that I'm conforming. There's a difference. I'm loving him. And in order for you to even understand what I'm talking about, you have to walk your walk. And I'm going to keep on going throughout this video explaining everything. We have been told, especially through religion and our spiritual community, that alcohol robs you of your spirit. I actually read this on Facebook not too long ago. Actually, a few days ago. And let me see. And I'm not putting this person's name here, but this person wrote something here that, and I'm just going to read it. If you were forced to drink a glass of Drano cleaner or a drain cleaner, as you drink it, you would slowly become more relaxed. As you consume more of it, you would get disoriented with blurry vision. If you continue to drink even more, you would get nauseated, maybe even throw up. Eventually, you will die if you continue to consume it. Maybe even just with one bottle. This is what alcohol does. The effects of drinking are your body's alert system that sometimes is wrong. That something is wrong, excuse me. You are being poisoned. So that is what I hear. And then she continues on, or whomever this is, saying that the Ascended Masters has given her this information. that they are guiding her to give this information. So, we have been conditioned to believe, no matter what society it is, that it's a poison. Now, I want you to really think here, though. You know, you also hear that everything is here for a reason. Now, in our process, though, we are learning to become the magician. We're learning to transmute all negative form into a more positive form. Our body, when we learn to transmute our sexual energy, is a distillery. The same distillery that creates alcohol. is in our body. When you have all of your elements complete, at balance, and the spirit resides within you, nothing harms you. That's why it's so important, but that's why it's so hard in this path to develop the spirit. The ego always comes back and points a finger and judges. But we are supposed to learn to transmute. It doesn't mean it's not just that we are transmuting negative feelings so that we can become love. It goes with everything in this entire reality. From any thing or form that we put into our mouth, because that's what's written in the Bible. It's not what you eat or the drink that defiles you, but what comes out. Because what we think is going to be a product of our speech, and that speech is going to corrupt every seed that we develop. If we think we are transmuting our energies and being love, but we are judging left and right about meat, about being vegetarian, about being a vegan, about alcohol, we still are in negative form. That night that my husband and I went out, I took a sip. I felt what alcohol was doing to me. I began to breathe. I became conscious of that tingling and that warmth. I felt something different that I've never felt before when consuming alcohol. My solar plexus began to assist in my power. There was this warmth, not from the stomach that's full of alcohol, but that took up the entire space of my abdomen. It's the Tantian. That's our powerhouse. And it has the ability to take any form that you put into your stomach and make it usable. Usable energy. But if we are not in alignment with love, then that's the problem. Love has no judgment on anything that we consume or anything that we see, anything that we do. I'm not saying you should drink. I'm not saying it's okay to be an addict of any sort. But the addictions, the alcoholics, all of that exists because there's a thought about it. Only when we are in love are we able to even see goodness in the brain and in the eye, and therefore project goodness into this reality. We can't create heaven on earth until heaven on earth is within us. By the end of the night, you know, we ate our dinner there, and I was drinking the beer. We decided to go to a very small local bar. I was a little weary at first because, you know, here's another setting. Alcoholics, people that I don't know, things that I'm judging are at a place that I am not comfortable at anymore. I went in there. I had another beer, and I drank that first beer very slowly. I don't remember what time we got there, but by the time we were done, I ended up telling my husband, I counted, I've had 9 beers tonight, and I'm still standing. I don't feel drunk whatsoever. I don't feel like I've had a drink at all. At every single drink, with every single breath, I was feeling my spirit. My spirit had more power over the alcohol that I was taking in. That's the process and the true transmutation of energy. So I can go back to how I'm always talking about how we even judge those who eat meat. If that's your choice, let it be your choice. I became a vegan, vegetarian, whatever you want to call it, for about a year. Although I was given clearance to do whatever I wished. Well, God was telling me it was okay, Christy, because, you know, I was like, God, what does this even mean? Why am I doing this? You know, I was asking questions. Can I have this, God? Is this really omitted from the spiritual diet? And God spoke and told me it's okay. You know, because, and then he gave me those quotes in the Bible that I was talking about. And I began to understand. It's always the thought to emotion to expression that taints anything. So if it's meat or water, if you have a judgment against it, it's a separation within you. It's a judgment within you. And you have to learn to heal it and to let it go. So if you have an idea, oh, I can't have fast food or fast food is really bad, you're containing a negative form inside of you. I'm not saying you have to do it, but you can't just refrain from things and think that you are better than, or healed, or strong. Because how do you know that unless you are trying something? So let's think about it in this context. There are countries who don't have the means to have vegetables at hand all the time. Very poor countries. And for the most part, they're eating meat or breads, beans, things like that. Are you telling me that that individual who one day doesn't wake up and said, I have an awareness of myself, something's wrong, that that person is not going to wake up to the true spirit and source because they're eating meat? You think that's what God is about? No. So you think also a monk or those who are whatever in that congregation who are committed to celibacy or abstinence are the only ones in this reality who can reach enlightenment? No. Because enlightenment or love has nothing to do with sex or not having sex. It has nothing to do with meat or not eating meat. It has nothing to do with alcohol or not having alcohol. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with what you think of all of it and how you're learning about yourself, about the truth. Truth. The truth comes to you when you are taking the direct path through the central pillar, the straight and narrow path, the very difficult path to self-realization, the doorway to knowledge is given to you. And so everything that I talk about, especially things like this, when it comes to the food you eat and then of course alcohol or addictions, anything, it's going to be hard for many people to believe. It's not going to be very accepted in certain people because they just haven't walked that walk. They might tell you that they are enlightened or have reached enlightenment, but then turn around and tell you you're wrong for choosing to eat meat. I'd question it. I'd question every single individual. Now, if the choice is yours to be a vegetarian, whatever it is, you have that right. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be drinking alcohol ever again. I'm not saying I will. I'm not saying I won't. I'm saying that alcohol has no more power over me. Now I can trust myself in the situation and feel power of the positive form instead of control, which is a negative source of power. And we see that in society where there is control to overpower you. Nothing's going to overpower me. Well, I'm working on not being overpowered by anything that is outside of me. And my inner being is doing that work for me. But I have to be the one that does the walk, and then my inner being backs me up until the point of both inner being and me as my human being are finally united as one. So that's the goal, for us to live in a human form, the spirit to live within this vehicle with full consciousness. And that takes experiences. It takes you learning about your experiences, understanding why those experiences control you. You know, when we're dealing with addictions, when we are dealing with addictions, especially in this society, they tell you, well, let's take this antidepressant or whatever it is, because we're going to help you because there's something emotionally going on. So it's another cover-up for a cover-up. It's never getting to the root cause or dealing with that control. Now, I don't know why, other than the fact that I just wanted to be loved by other people. I didn't know who I was as to why I used other substances. Perhaps in another lifetime I did have other addictions, and for the most part you've taken those negative energies that you haven't learned from previous lives until you have finally learned it all, and then you no longer have to repeat that. So I know that's still part of it, but there's no, it was acceptance. I wanted to be accepted as other people for who those ideas of those other people think that I am. But I'm comfortable, and you know, in my yesterday's video, I spoke about my appearance. And of course, now in this video, I have a self-realization that has been made in reference to how I should look as well in my exercising. I took one substance and changed it to another substance that I wanted to control. And I've been trying to lose that and heal that part with not exercising and not feeling that void other than with my soul. And I know, and I know this. My heart has known this. But it takes the brain to really understand it. I knew that in time, when everything was said and done, the right moment, everything was going to fit. Everything was going to make sense. Because isn't it nice to live in a world where you can just do, where you can just be and function properly? Isn't it nice to have the table full of food and be able to taste every single thing and not have that thing control your life? We're told left and right that food is good for you, bad for you. All this mumbo jumbo. And that's what we're healing. I'm not saying that we are going to eat everything on the table. But if this world is an illusion, this illusion shouldn't be controlling us. This world is an illusion, and you can't forget that. Alcohol is an illusion. It's just a form. It's an element that's outside of you that you have lost control of internally. Now, when you take alcohol, it becomes a spirit, and spirit is who? Spirit. Learning to love the spirit. It's symbolism, even in that. Nourishment. Food. It's a nourishment. Learning to love food, because there's an element of nourishment that is supposed to be contained within you. Love. Love. I have been teaching myself with food to love food. And every time I take a bite, I thank it. I'm thanking my inner being for that connection. And that's what I did the other day with alcohol. I was conscious of my inner being every time I took a drink. And I can't make you understand this. And if you have understood this, awesome. Or if you can implement this in your life. And so we have to go through a period of refraining. That's an automatic thing. You know, we have something that we were addicted to, or something controlled us, and then you have to omit it. Because it shows a strength and a willpower in even stopping. Then you have to be able to see that again. You have to be able to face it, because that addiction is something within you. And you have to face that addiction. You can't face it by covering it up with something else and thinking that it's gone. And thinking that it doesn't control you any longer. It's always going to come back and bite you in the butt. You have to become stronger, because the spirit is with you, so that nothing in this reality controls you, has power over you. Daniel in the Bible represents a true development of growth. So he was thrown into the pit with lions. But he didn't identify with the lions. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm so glad I continued on with this video. We can't identify. So when you identify with alcohol, or, you know, alcohol controlling society or making you be robbed of your spirit, you're identifying with it. That's where the problem comes from. Love does not identify. There's no judgment towards it. So Daniel didn't moan, didn't cry, didn't complain to anybody. He didn't say, my life is terrible, any of that stuff. What am I going to do? They're going to eat me, blah, blah, blah. He was in perfect serenity, because he knew that he had within himself his innermost. He had his spirit within him. And that is the angel that appeared. His innermost. And that's what we are trying to accomplish. And I'm feeling really, really overwhelmed here in love, in understanding this, even through my life experience. You know, when I make my videos here for you guys, or these videos for you guys, it also embeds a greater understanding for me. And so I appreciate this. This is not just for you guys. I do this even. It helps me. It helps me too in my journey. So I hope you guys know the appreciation and the gratitude I feel for being here for you guys. And it helps me heal and understand as well. So Daniel ended up saying, my Elohim has sent an angel. And this is referring to the angel within him, the strength of his own innermost, because he has walked the path. The thing about the path is that there is no map. There's no map that's going to tell us which way to go, and what is right, and what is wrong, so that we have a heads up. The only thing that we can do is walk, and just keep walking, and fall, and get back up, and try again, and always get back into love. This is what the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is about, and it is Zadi. Yet, Zadi has the 19th letter, which is Kaf, and I have mentioned that in a few of my videos. When you are Zadi is actually going to be Sarah, who is mentioned in the Bible, who is Abraham's wife. She was 90 years old when she had a child. And then Kaf becomes Abraham, who is 100 years old in the Bible. So when you actually combine both of these, Zadi Kaf, it becomes Zadi Kaf, Zadi Kaf, because they go together. Every single moment we are to remember God. And so I mentioned that, I guess, in even the video the other day. I guess it was for the secrets and the twins, in reference to even being with our significant other in a sexual manner, in loving our significant other sexually. We are still supposed to remember our inner being. And so I can even go back in my life here. And you know, it's really, some people won't talk about this, but because it's about sex, you know. But even with my husband and I, in my process, and this is why I had a self-realization the other day, is that I have, because I have tried to love my inner being, or God, even. I have failed to love my husband in ways that, you know, a man needs. We're not going to be condemned for loving our significant other. Sex is not bad when sex is done correct. And when we always keep God within what we are doing, then we're still learning to harness and transform and contain the seed. We're not spilling it. So that's the misconception even within our spiritual community as well. So that's something that I have learned about what I have been doing in my own cycle here, or path here. And so let's see what else before I say goodbye today. So let's just go back to first, before I close out this video, about the alcohol, and especially in my own life. I used to do it to fit in to the lives of other people. I did it to feel good. I needed it as well in order to fit into that box that people wanted me to fit into. I didn't know who I was unless I was drinking in this situation. I didn't feel comfortable, so I drank. So in all honesty, I needed it to help me. Because when we need something, we are lacking. Of course, we have a disconnection, meaning we have a disconnection between the source and self. That's why we need other things outside of us. We need to drink. We need the love of somebody else. I need to buy these clothes. I need to look a certain way. I need my hair to be done. Whatever it is. Any form of need is a form of lacking. Or the ego still intact. And of course still living within the 3D reality, if you will. Or being confined to the earth. So, again, this is something that you have to learn on your own path, and trusting it in your own path. We have to go to, we have to repeat our cycles. Our life is going to give us a chance to come back to situations and see how we are handling those situations. And if you are cutting yourself off from that type of experience, you're never going to learn who you are and who you have become in the process of your ascension process. And therefore, you can't learn to see how much of the transmutation that you have actually taken place internally. Unless you have an experience, again, that matches where you used to mess up at. You have to heal it, and you have to feel it, you have to see it, and you have to understand it. You know, I could use my YouTube channel as an example here as well. Of course, in the very beginning when I started making these videos, my intention was, or my hope was, to eventually get to enough views or viewers that I could make a living off of this, like many of those other influencers. It's like, wow, look at what they have done. They're making thousands and thousands of dollars. They're traveling the world. They're doing this. And, you know, many of these people are paying for their subscribers. Many of these people are subscribed to other major influencers. And then they're working with these other major influencers. So it's kind of like a little clique of belonging to the same like-minded people. They're all helping each other out. You'll see many of them are having interviews with lots of them, and others are all connected. The thing about many of those influencers, what I have noticed, is that they're showboating everything that they have attained. They're talking about wealth here. How do you manage, and then trying to teach you about wealth instead of how they're not teaching you how to gain freedom. If you are focused on manifesting anything in this reality, wealth, relationships, homes, cars, new job, your focus is on the earth instead of in the kingdom of heaven. It's being taught incorrectly. And that's something that in my process of awakening, I learned. I learned, of course, about consciousness, and then consciousness, of course, took me to laws of attraction and how to manifest. Well, I picked it up. I was like, okay, well, if you think it, you feel it, and you act on it. You create it. It's just like if you're exercising. If you want to lose weight, you're thinking you created a thought, and as long as you believe in that thought and you are actually acting on it, which means you're getting up every single day and actually exercising, you are eventually going to lose weight. But even those people who don't believe, you know, they're just moping, I hate exercising, I don't want to do it. They're bickering every single day. Those are the same people who are saying, well, it's not working. That's how laws of attraction works anyway. You have to have a faith. A spark must go off within you. But manifesting isn't about the manifesting that Jesus talks about. It's not about manifesting wealth, relationships, houses, jobs, what many of these influencers are guiding all of us to, yet they are telling you that, oh, this is how you get to enlightenment, and many people are falling for it. And that's what we call, I guess is called in the Bible, as a false prophet, is because they're telling you one thing but teaching you another. They're telling you how to, or this is what consciousness and enlightenment is, but they're keeping you suppressed by telling you you can manifest wealth. Wealth. It's an idea that's been implanted by this world to keep people stuck or reaching for something other than freedom. True wealth and true freedom is an internal practice that is an automatic response to you being in the alignment of love. The greatest wealth comes from within oneself when they have reached soul connection. Soul connection. You know, and of course, money used to be a huge problem for me. I was struggling for many, many years. And then, of course, that's what I tried to work on in my awareness to my awakening process. Working on it means understanding why you are stuck with money. Money has a hold over you. It's a control substance, a controlled element. And if you are struggling to have money, it's because there's still something energetically wrong from within you that hasn't reached its balance yet. And if you're always reaching for money, something that isn't even real, it's not real. It's not real. We have to learn to let go in order to receive. And it really takes us opening up our eyes to really see freedom, to reach for freedom. Love is freedom. And love is going to let go of the idea of wealth. Love will let go of the idea of someone else loving us. Love is going to let go of the idea of I have to be this way or that way. I can't eat this or that. All kinds of things. Love must be our guide. And at some point of your ascension path, you are going to say, well, I'm loving myself. I'm not eating meat because I'm loving myself. I'm not drinking because I'm loving myself. You're healing yourself right now. And that is okay. You are in a healing process. But by you choosing to be a vegetarian, a vegan, or a non-meat eater, or someone who is not drinking alcohol, you're labeling. You are, what did I say about Daniel? You're identifying with something and having a judgment with it. You should see something and just observe it. And then in that observing, because that's what love is, you're just an observation. Love is that neutral perspective that has no good or bad about it. It sees it and knows that nothing outside of it can destroy it. And I hope this video helps you a little bit better on your path, and I know it's assisted me in mine. This is Christy. Much love, health, and healing your way. I am bringing purpose to your life. Take care.